Hello, everyone.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Welcome to another edition of Common Kaisers. I am your host, Chris Eaton. And join me, as always, is...
Adiani Nohosa. Hey, yes. how was your guys' summer vacation? Was it good? I feel like I've said this six times already since the summer.
Well, now, hey, we are actually in the final lap of summer as we're recording this. It is the middle of August.
Oh, yes, it feels like it, man.
Yeah, even feels like it. We're in San Diego right now recording this, and it's actually warm.
Yeah.
It's warm. It's muggy.
It's summer nights, man.
Yes.
Southern summer nights.
Yeah. Yeah. Where I'm in the mean streets of Orange County, it's been kind of nice.
Yeah, well.
Which I'm a little shocked. So, Ari and I are back. We were off for the month, mostly because I was traveling a crap ton.
Yeah.
I was at G-Fest.
We were both working.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were working Comic-Con.
Was working Comic-Con.
My God, yeah.
Different,
yeah. Different ways, yeah.
Different ways, but yeah, but we're here. You
we're
know.
Back. I was doing some work before this episode, and I'm like, oh, the last thing we did was Primevals.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, this week, we are back. Ari and picked the movie this week.
You know, it's so funny, because I reached out to Chris. I'm like, we should just do Alien Romulus, because it's...
Yeah. And well, why? Why should we do Alien Romulus?
I mean, because I reached out to you this week, and I'm like, we didn't really pick out a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Or we did a long time ago, we just kind of abandoned that idea.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, I know I'm going to go see Alien. Mm-hmm. You're going to go see Alien. Let's go watch Alien.
I'm going to wait for Alien to come on cable like I did the last two.
Yo, you really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not... Look.
All right.
Look, I will... Full context. I've told this story on the podcast a couple of times. My dad freaked me out at a young age with Alien. Or Aliens, the second one. The good one. The real good one. So, it took me a long time to come back around to, like, okay. Aliens. So when I finally got into my movie buff era, I was like, "All right, let me see what this is all about now." Because that was the thing. My dad always gave me the Dark Horse comics.
Yeah,
so I read the card because he was always like, "You love Predator, but you can't get it by aliens." I'm like, "Dad, I'm haunted by the image of Bishop being ripped in half and all that white crap coming out of him." That was what did it for me. That's what screwed me up as a kid.
Well,
I still remember very vividly. And then when I went back as an adult, I'm like, I could see why this would, you know, burn in my psyche at 4 years old watching this movie.
Well, there's definitely white stuff in this new one. But there's a lot more practical effects than there was in the last couple ones.
Now, look, I am more of a Predator fan.
Fair.
I love Predator.
Fair.
The only Predator movies I don't care for happen to be the two that cross over with Aliens.
Okay.
And the Predator, which
is... that the one with the... No, that's the one with Adrian Brody. Sorry.
The Super Predator.
Yeah.
Super Predator. I remember watching him like, Shane Black's doing Predator. He was in the first one. Hell, right? This is going to be awesome. And I remember walking out like, oh my God, this is what every Alien fan feels like.
Now, I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it personally.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Alien or Predator movie I didn't like. I mean,
now look,
I'm a mark. Let's be real.
Now look, I'll say this. I have, honestly, in hindsight... I really don't have a lot of problems with Alien versus Predator, other than it's a PG-13 movie, and it's not what I'm... Because I love the arcade game.
Wrong. Right.
And that's what I always saw Alien versus Predator. Like, you need Space Marines.
Yes.
You need a horde of aliens, yep. And you need the Predators and the Marines teaming up to take down, Hive. You can, or you do a three-way fight. You have aliens, Predators, and Marines, and it's just a matter of survival. That's how you do it. Now, Alien vs. Predator, like, I worked for a movie theater that had it, and I was like, it's fine. The thing that bugged me the most was how they treated the Predators in that movie.
Oh.
But I'm not gonna lie, like, I was like, watching, you know, two dudes in monster suits, like, throw each other around and fight, I'm like, okay, this is actually pretty fun, this is cool. Alien vs. Predator 2 is actually garbage. It's a garbage movie that you can't see. Now, I watched Prometheus. I'm like, oh, cool. You're going... We're getting to the nitty-gritty. I remember finishing that movie. I'm like, why? Why? What was the point of that movie? And then Covenant came on HBO one night. I sat down. It came in like right as Green Goblin was on the screen. James Franco. I'm like, James Franco's in this freaking movie?
That's right.
It was already weird.
That's right.
It was already weird that the guy from Eastbound and Down was in this movie.
Yeah.
But I'm like, James Franco? I'm like, okay. And then he dies like 20 minutes later. Spoilers for an 8-6-year-old movie at this point. But I'm like, okay, well, let's see where this goes. And I'm like, All right, the Neomorphs are kind of cool. That's it. It's what I assume the people who don't like the Blair Witch Project go and like, nothing happens in this movie. That's the problem with Covenant. Like, there's like 25 minutes of story in this movie.
Yeah.
And the rest is like, what? Why did you make a big deal out of this? Like, there's nothing that goes on in this movie. This is like an episode of a show you turned into a 2-hour movie.
Haven't seen an Alien or Predator movie I didn't like, but I agree. There's parts
This is why, and look, I've talked to people that watch Romulus. I've heard both good and bad things. I've heard from a hardcore Alien fan, he's like, it's fine. But knowing his taste, it's like us with Godzilla.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, watching like, you know, some of the newer Legendary offerings where people are like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's a good entry. Like, Godzilla and Kong, as much as I love it, I can sit there and like, this is nothing more than like a big budget show of film. Like, it's just passing time, but you're having a good time with it. I wouldn't put it in the highest of, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Minus One. It's not Shin. It's not Mechagodzilla. So, I'll watch it when it comes on, like, Hulu or whatever they're going to put it on. I'll watch it then, but I heard interesting things about it. I'm like, alright, I'll give it a chance when it comes up. I still haven't seen Twisters. Yeah. I still haven't seen Twisters, yeah. What? And you might be asking, why is that a big deal? Because, one, I'm a tornado fanatic, and two, I've told this guy, why is that a big deal?
Because you're a weather guy. That's all you do. All you do is, all you ever talk about is fucking... Sorry.
Yeah.
Language.
Yeah.
Is kaiju, 90s anime, and weather.
Yeah.
That's it.
And I saw the original Twister. I'm not joking. This is no hyperbole. I saw it 13 times in its original theatrical run. My dad and I saw it 12 of those times together, so.
Well, you're going to love the new Twisters.
I know. I can't wait. It's coming back to 4DX at the end of the month, and I'm waiting until
you're
going to
love it.
I got my buddies. He's like, hey, when it comes back, I'm like, yes. Part of it is because I've been traveling. I've been in Chicago. I've been in San Diego. That's I've been all around. Yeah,
it's our
cheers, sir. So
that's why we didn't do Alien Romulus. So the second pick was like, all right, let's do an Alien ripoff. I'm like, you guys, if you're watching this, you've seen plenty of Alien ripoffs.
There's
movies.
So many of them.
So like, you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
So now, about 10 minutes after we kind of go back and forth, I go like, hey guys, Cruel Jaws is on Prime.
Cruel you decided Jaws? Let's not do an Alien ripoff. Let's do a Jaws ripoff. So we stayed with the ripoff theme for this week's edition.
I didn't know how long this thing was going to be on Prime for.
Okay, let's explain why, because this is going to go deep into our review, but why would it not be on Prime?
Well, because it blatantly, number one, I think you said it best.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Turkish movies that blatantly rip off other movies, where they straight up steal scenes from other movies.
Mm-hmm.
This is an Italian movie,
directed
by Bruno Mattei.
Yeah.
If you know who Bruno Mattei is, you know what you're getting in.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting into. This thing straight up rips off Jaws 2, Jaws 3, The Last Shark.
And Jaws of Revenge.
And Jaws, is that the one with Michael Caine?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, well.
1,000% Jaws. I'm sitting there, I'm like, is that, like, they took all of the bad Jaws movies, put them in a blender, and then also added, you know, a little oregano, if you will, for that Italian flavor, by ripping off another Italian shark movie, and they gave us Cruel Jaws, which is also known as Jaws 5 in some territories, and there's a damn good reason. So, I've only seen, like, bits of this online. Like, you know what, this sounds like a good thing to do. But there's a deeper reason why it being on Amazon Prime is an even bigger deal. Because not only does it just rip off all these movies. Now, there's movies that blatantly rip off other movies all the time.
Sure.
You know, there's only so many versions of a story you can tell. This goes even deeper. Why?
Well, because it rips off the Star Wars theme.
Star Wars theme?
I'm pretty sure it's Star Trek.
Star Trek. And on top of that, it's not just themes for being reused. There's legit footage from all four Jaws movies and, what was it, The Last Shark?
The Last Shark,
The Last Shark. They're literally, I don't think there was an actual shark that they shot in this movie.
Look, I know there's a credit for shark design,
yeah,
but I don't.
I think it's Bull.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of Bull. So, We're going to do Cruel Jaws because, as we say, right now it is on Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
It could be pulled at any point because it is the definition of copyright infringement. 1,000% is the definition of copyright infringement.
Oh, God.
And this is a movie we need a little scotch to talk about. Cheers.
Cheers.
So, this is...
Oh, boy.
Okay. Here's the basic story of Cruel Jaws, because normally we kind of break down the story.
Yeah.
We go through it. There's not a lot of story to break down in this
movie. You've seen this story. Let's be real.
Unlike when we were reviewing Electric Dragon 8000 Volts, where there's not a story per se to that movie. It's more of an art.
Yes.
It's like you're watching...
A performance piece.
A performance piece. No, this has a story. It's a little surfside town.
Yeah.
That also happens to be right outside Miami, Florida, for some reason. I think they allude it's kind of around the Keys, but it's not. And pretty much a government ship sinks.
The Cleveland,
which we never see it sink.
No.
It just starts with a small, like, SS Mayo style boat.
Yeah.
And a drunken captain and, like, two Cuban dudes. And they're going to go salvage stuff on the ship.
Yeah.
Get attacked by a shark. Yeah. And somehow the shark also takes out the captain, but the boat survives.
Makes sense.
Yes. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And thus...
I mean, that's how Lost World Jurassic Park ended, right?
This is true.
This is how the T-Rex gets stuck in the...
Yeah. So we're introduced to our hero, which is this dude that looked... I, for a minute, thought he was the dude from Troll 2.
Right?
Yes!
Oh, my God!
Yes!
Yeah, that guy, right? Yeah.
They're eating them, and they're hunting me. Oh, my God. I'm like, that's that dude. And I look up... No, it's a completely different dude.
Okay.
He and his girlfriend, who is the definition of, like, that... stuck-up chick that hates everything that her boyfriend does because he's not paying enough attention to me. It's one of those things.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, I already hate her. They go visit friends? It's never been clear. Acquaintances of some sort.
They're going to a theme park.
A marine park.
Marine park.
Which, actually, it was shot in Marine Park, but this looks like...
Dude.
The most third world hole-in-the-wall theme park I've ever seen.
No, it's a pool. It's a pool with some stands.
Yeah.
That's what we're getting into.
There's two dolphins.
and a seal.
And a seal.
Yeah.
Yeah. A snarky seal, by the way. It's got to be... He's a little...
Yeah,
he's a little rambunctious.
Yeah.
And they're going to spend their vacation... Our couple is going to spend their vacation there. And by the way, our hero... is a marine biologist. They don't call him a marine biologist. They call him a fish expert. Because I don't think the screenwriters knew the proper term for a marine freaking biologist. They show up. There's this little girl swimming. Turns out she's paralyzed from the waist down.
Yes.
And we meet her family, which is her older brother and her father.
You know what? It's Hulk Hogan.
This guy walks out. He looks like the Wish version of Hulk Hogan. But like Hulk Hogan, when he jumped to WC... Around the same time, 95, when he went to the beginning of the NWO era, where like the face is... He's still got a little bit of the roid face, like a little wider, but he's got the thin handlebar mustache, the bleached blonde hair that's balding, like the hair's receding.
It's balding in the front and up here, too.
Yes. It's like, just like real Hogan.
Yeah.
But he's got the full mullet and everything going on. And you're like, you're trying to believe that this dude runs a marine park. And like, well, you find out the marine parks, they're behind.
Three months on rent.
And the evil real estate tycoon, which I'm like, okay, now we're ripping off not only Jaws, but now we're taking plot elements. You know, it's kind of a standard Scooby-Doo thing, but this guy came right out of Roadhouse. That's what this dude was. Because he had his army of cronies.
Yeah.
Including his kid. And he's, like, walking around smoking a cigar. He's like, you're 3 months behind on rent. And the local sheriff shows up and he's, like, making friends. He's being friends. Ah, hey, I'm sorry, but you're being evicted. Like.
Understandable.
Yeah. So now.
Yeah, whatever.
They're like, we got 30 days. We'll figure that. And by the way, am I overacting? Am I over-exaggerating? my how these people are
acting. I think they're acting better than they are in the movie.
It's a lot. Like, I've seen better acting in, like, some of the worst Power Ranger episodes.
It's on par with, like, season 2 Power Rangers.
Oh, my God. Like, these are not SAG members. These are not SAG members for a reason.
I don't think they're actors, but here we are.
So this movie meanders about with our main character, the daughter of the evil tycoon.
Who has a crush
on the son of the owner of the theme park.
There's like 4 or 5 different subplots that really don't do anything.
They don't coalesce at all. Yeah, they're
kind of end open-ended, spoiler.
Because here's the thing. This movie goes for like 35 minutes before, and it's an hour and...
Hour 30.
Hour 30.
Good 90 minutes, yeah.
Good 90 minutes. In the first 35 to 40 minutes, there is not a goddamn shark to be seen anywhere. There's all this other weird nonsense going on.
Yeah.
Like... With the real estate mogul, and his son, like, kind of pulling a John Wick, like, we're going to kill these dolphins, so that way this park goes under.
Poison the dolphins,
They
right?
try to poison the dolphins, yeah. And they're using, like, stock footage of the dolphins, like, they're supposed to, like, they threw a fish at this dolphin. And you see the dolphin eat this, like, cyanide-laced fish, and the dolphin's just kind of, like, flapping in the water, and you're like, oh, no. And then, like, 2 minutes later, the dolphin's fine, like... They find the fish. They like the guy's like, oh god, we're gonna get found. Let's run. And our heroes find like someone's trying to poison the dolphin. Nothing made of it after that. Like the dolphins are fine. Everything's fine. So in Jaws fashion, the real estate mogul is holding a ricotta.
Yeah,
it's a
a thing.
It's ricotta supposed to be for boat racing, but this is a bunch of windsurfers. On their little things, and they find a body washed up. It's one of the poor Cubans that gets mangled by the shark.
One look, they give one look at this thing.
One look, and they're like,
shark,
shark, yeah.
Specifically, tiger shark,
Yeah, which we already saw the shark
was not a tiger.
It was a great white shark. So yes, continuity be damned, and especially if picking,
fish expert be damned.
Yeah, you guys are like, this is clearly a tiger shark. And by the way, there's a point in this movie where I'm like, oh, this is definitely written by some Italians. And it was translated because you can pick up the little nuances because this takes place in Florida, South Florida. Not, you know, not known for their more intelligent people, but still. It was the sheriff was talking about seeing the shark. And he's like, it's got to be at least 7 meters long. I'm like, no one says... Especially in 1995, no one is so measuring a shark by freaking
meters.
By meters,
yeah.
Yeah.
In Florida, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this is like little things I was picking up on. So
it's 3 refrigerators long.
Yes. What? So we're getting the sheriff is like, we gotta shut this beach down. There's a shark murdering people out there.
It's every Jaws cliche. Yeah, you know.
Of course, the tycoon's telling the mayor, who's this little impish looking dude, like... We can't shut down. And by the way, the dude looks like he was best friends with the director.
Yeah. Because
he says, like, all 4 lines. And he's, like he looks like he wore his own outfit to the set. Because
his own sleazy suit?
Yeah, it's like a sleazy suit. He's got one of those, like, cummerbunds, like, up here. And, like, I'm like, you're not rich. You're a mayor. You're a mayor of, like, some crap hole town and something. Like, you're not supposed to be looking like that. Like, at least when Spielberg cast the mayor of the town, like... Yes, he looks like a sleazy politician. This guy was like, "No, I run like a car, like I make cars like in Italy somewhere. Like
I sell cars.
Yeah, I sell cars in Italy. I'm trying to pass off that I'm a rich dude." So they want to shut down. Of course, they all want to shut down, and then we just have to deal with drama, 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 and then we get.
Oh my god! Then where the action starts.
We get about 40 minutes in.
Then the screen goes blue.
Yes.
And it's straight up. It is the opening scene from Jaws, part one.
Yes. 1,000%. It is literally the footage. It's one. I know that scene. I like.
You know,
anybody
you
that's
know.
A movie fan knows that knows that moment.
Sure enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's a guy and a girl making out on the beach.
Yeah.
I guess the guy's related to somebody. Or the, I don't. Like.
It's never explained. There's like. People. when the script calls for it, they're like, oh, he was really like, we just met this guy like 30 seconds ago.
But they're brothers with that guy.
Yeah, and he gets devoured by a shark.
Yep. Doesn't matter. It's the opening scene from Jaws.
Yes.
Making out on the beach. Girl goes in the water. Guy's kind of bumbles his way into the water.
Mm-hmm.
Girl gets eaten.
Yeah.
I think the guy gets eaten, too.
I think so. He survives later on.
I don't remember him ever coming back. Yeah,
because, again, we might seem all over the place, but this movie is literally all over the place because there are continuity errors galore in this movie. Like, whoever was editing, this felt like it was their, wasn't even their true first day on the job because it felt like they've never edited a movie in their life.
This movie looks like it was working backwards, where they had all this footage and they worked a movie around it. They
kind of pulled the Power Rangers with it. Like, we have all this footage because, again, the beginning of the movie says it has a guy that built the shark. And there's a point where, when the shark shows up, I'm like, oh, man, they must have had a budget. And then I'm looking close, I'm like, wait. It's not the same shark. And that's not, is that from Jaws 4? I'm like, I'm 9,000% convinced that they had no shark whatsoever. Because every time you see the shark, it's a real shark. From some stock footage.
Yeah.
Or it seems taken directly from bigger budget movies, Jaws 1 through 4, or Final Shark. And every time the shark attacks someone, everyone that gets attacked by the shark in the water does the same thing. Like, it starts splashing around, and then they cut to like some underwater footage of the shark coming up, or the Jaws footage of the Jaws up close, and it's like done that, my, my, my. And then the person getting attacked goes, they go under, and then they do like a kickflip. Clearly they got dragged down, and then they bob upside down, their feet go up, and their legs, and they're like, where did they get bit?
That would explain why some of these characters wear very interesting outfits.
Oh my god.
It's like, why would you wear that? And then it cuts to the underwater version, like, oh, so it matches.
Yes.
So there's that continuity.
Yes.
I'm like, that's a weird thing to wear. Oh, because you're... Yeah.
Because you're working on footage for one of the things.
Makes sense. So you want to wear something that's similar.
So
legs get, it goes from like a female on top and then it gets like to this muscular person at the bottom. Like, that's not a... Because wearing boxers.
Well, that's not even in, taking into account the day as night shots.
The blue screen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's clearly a lot of shots that they filmed in broad daylight. It's supposed to be the middle of the night. And you can tell because the sun's coming right in through the window, through everything that they're shooting out. There's literally one shot where it was night, and then they cut through outside, and it's clearly like 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And then they cut back inside, and it's dark again. You're like, what the mad hell is going on here? So we get to the regatta. And this is the actual attack, the first big attack where, oh no, there's a shark. So the son of the mogul is on his little board and he gets bit on the back.
Oh, no. Let's talk about the good two and a half minutes of our main character and the son of the mogul racing next to each other. And when I say racing, I mean like shaking this thing back and forth.
Oh, they're not even in the water.
And they're talking trash to each other. Well, mogul's talking trash to the main character.
Yeah.
Or the son of... I don't know. Doesn't matter.
doesn't matter.
But he's just like... He's cussing him out. And I mean, this is a lot of hard language for a PG.
By the way, okay.
Right?
Yeah. Let me not to get too distracted on that, but this was clearly meant to be an exploitation movie.
Yes.
They wanted to be like an R-rated, gory shark attack movie.
Yeah.
In many ways, it is weirdly tame. Like, there's, like, you look at it and, like, there's points I'm like, oh, is that, might take her top off. Oh, no. Like, you get a lot of, like, 90s girls in, like, bikinis and stuff, but it's weirdly tame. No one, like,
talks.
And then every once, there's no nudity, and there's, and it's just, like, every, like, 25 minutes, they throw in an F-bomb.
Yeah.
Or an S-bomb, and it's just so, it feels so out of place when they finally do it. You're like, no one else is talking like this in the movie. And then all of a sudden, you just blurt it out during, like, a sequence, and, like, this feels weird. It is weirdly the tamest R-rated horror movie I've had the misfortune of watching in a long time. I'm like, who is this for?
For us. It's for us. It's for you watching.
Yeah. So yeah, so well, so the shark attacks this competition.
This is the part of the Meg. You know, if you've seen the Meg and you see that shark attack where everybody gets depopulated, this is that part of the movie where the shark goes on a rampage.
And occasionally, so they'll do like these quick zoom shots of like the way where the camera does the hard zoom in on a person like swimming. All of a sudden, they go and then like there's just pink blood that comes out of the water where they're at. Like it, and it's clearly not the same spot,
right?
Because they were actually, you know, they had a cameraman in the either at, on the at the edge of the beach, or they actually had a couple of shots in the water, which I'm pretty sure like that was probably where the most of the budget went to waterproof a camera to get in there.
Oh, right.
But it's so sloppily cut together. You're like, I don't know what's going on, but there's just people running in terror. They do the there's the idiotic like people are like, get out of my way, and people are going back into the water.
Yeah. Yeah, there's four people. There's the sheriff. Mm-hmm. There's the theme park or amusement park owner.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. There's everybody's yelling at each other just to get out of the water. Yeah. Like, it's going to make anything go faster.
Yeah, but it's all chaos. Just, so
it is what it is.
There's a point where the shark, like, there's like a barge that's like attached to this dock.
It looks like it's a floating raft.
Because there's no establishing shot of this thing.
Right.
They just cut to the shark all of a sudden, like, biting at this wood, and they put these sound effects to make it feel like it's ramming this thing.
Right.
When you look at it, like, that's like a little, like, 4-foot shark. Like, and clearly, like, they got it hitting, like, some pieces of wood in the water. And then all of a sudden, they just flash cut to, like, people on this barge thing, and it breaks off. And then they cut to another scene from Jaws 4 as the shark's coming out of the water. And then people fall over, and then they just quick cut to, like, more pink dye in the water. And we get to this point where the youngest daughter of Hulk Hogan...
The paralyzed one.
Someone pushes her in, like, one of the most, like, able things you can see. And she goes ass over tea kettle into the water. So our marine biologist hero's girlfriend, the one that can't put up with them... And actually tried to cheat on him at one point in this movie.
That's true.
Yes, because she's like, I can't stand being with you because you're working to help people from saving the shark. So I'm going to go get liquored up with my other slutty friends and go hit on other guys to make you jealous. Literally what happens in this movie. She dives in to help this girl. Everyone runs to the edge of this dock. They pull the girl up, no problem. And our hero is like, grab my hand. He, by the way, 2 seconds earlier, had no problem pulling this girl up.
Right.
And she's in maybe like 8 feet of water. She's like, ah. And they cut, the quick cutting between the shark coming, her, him, her, shark, her, him. And it this close, and the final close-up is the hand like, reach for my hand. And you're like, she's right there. All you have to do is scooch forward a half an inch and you can pull her up. And then all of a sudden, she just goes down.
My favorite part is when you look down on the lady trying to come out. There's no shark behind her.
There's no shark.
No shark.
There's no shark. She just goes under, and then you get the prerequisite no, and then hard cut.
Well, commercial.
Yeah.
Hard cut.
Yes.
Hospital.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing because the way this is on Amazon Prime.
It's on through Freevee.
It's on through Freevee. So. Yeah. We get, it's weird commercials in between this, but, like, I'm watching, I'm like, I know for a fact that she dies, and then they just hard cut to the hospital of the other girl. And everyone's like, is she going to pull through? Hey, sorry your girlfriend got mauled to death by a shark. Like, okay, we gotta do something. And this is where the movie finally, like, somewhat focuses up, because everyone all of a sudden remembers, oh, we're in a killer shark movie. So now, we got to form a posse. Yeah. And the mogul, the real estate mogul, now he's got egg on his face because, you know, he...
All of a sudden, there's a mob in New York or Chicago or whatever.
Oh, no. We'll get to that in a second.
Oh, sorry.
Not there yet. Not there yet because...
Well, his son... We're too far?
No, we're still a little too far because in this hospital scene, the mogul's there with the mayor and the sheriff and Hulk Hogan... And he's the whole group, like, this is all your fault. Like, it's the mom moment. She's like, you knew the shark was out there. And still, he later on, she, you know, when she slaps the mayor. Except this version is like Hogan, like, you know, wish store Hogan, like,
hulking up. He's like, you're going to put a bounty out on this shark. Like, you're going to make this right. And he tells him the amount. You're going to put a $10,000 bounty on this shark.
Something crazy like that.
And, the guy's like, all right, fine. Like, I'm going to get my ass kicked by the guy whose land I'm trying to steal right now. So this bounty goes out. And the mogul tells his kid, he's like, look, I don't want to pay this thing, so you go take care of this. Meanwhile, the sheriff goes off on his own, and our heroes come together and are like, we got to figure out a plan to get the shark out.
So we got three posses.
We got three posses going on now.
We got the sheriff.
Yeah.
Bastard mogul.
Yeah.
And Bastard mogul's son, and then we got our heroes.
Our hero, who's working with the two guys that work, the son of the of Hulk Hogan and the guy that works at the theme park.
Do you want to go by an order of death, or should we?
Let's go in order of death.
Okay, cool. First one to die straight up is the
is the son.
It is the
son. It the son goes first. The son goes first.
Maybe top 10 deaths I've seen.
This made the movie worth it. This made the movie.
This is okay. The sequence of events is they hook a piece of meat.
Yes. So let's set the sequence. Yeah. So it's the son of the mogul, his two a-hole buddies,
and
the short-haired girl that was friends with our hero's girlfriend that was like, go cheat on your boyfriend.
Yeah.
So they get on a boat.
Yes.
And their plan is they're gonna chum the water.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, everyone used the same piece of meat. Did you notice that?
What, one was called the Sunday roast, and the other one was just...
It
came from a cooler.
Yeah.
It came from a...
cooler, yeah. Yeah. It looked like the same thing every time. Like, we only had, like, $40 to spend on this chunk of, like, what was clearly, like, some butchered lamb.
Yeah.
Like, with the skin and everything still on. So, they're like, we're going to throw this in the water, lure the shark, and then their grand plan was to shoot it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know what happens with the guy. The son has like some sort of like fright order. He freezes up. He doesn't shoot the shark.
Mm-hmm.
This is right before. This is right after they have a 5-minute explanation of where a shark's weakness are.
Yeah.
It is. Guess what? Right in the head. Right in the head. That's it. So, guy who just beat up our main character. He freezes up with his plastic gun. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like, it has no recoil. When he shoots it...
It's a shotgun, by the way.
It shoots it, and then he...
Yeah.
It's...
boom. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
We're clearly paying attention to a lot of things in reality. We're not starting here.
So, I don't know what the hell happens, but the line goes, you know, the shark gets... The line stuck. He pulls on. He rams the boat. Maybe the
shark gets the meat, which again is like from Jaws 3.
Sure.
Yeah. And I believe, if I recall, he's trying to pull the line in or something, and then goes overboard.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
He goes overboard, and then just he's like splashing the water. They cut to a different shark. By the way.
Yeah.
Again, it's supposed to be a tiger shark, but it's clearly a great white, and at some points, like a mock Mako shark, and it comes up, and all of a sudden, like, this giant mechanical shark just raises out of the water, and it's got a dude in his mouth, and I'm like...
Lifeless dummy body.
Lifeless dummy body.
Yeah.
And it's just like, nah, and I'm like, that's definitely from, like, the last shark, because it's so... Like, you're looking at, like, at first you're like, oh, that's kind of a cool mechanical shark, but then you're looking at, like, it's not even the same dude in his mouth.
It looks like a hand puppet.
Yeah.
It looks like...
It's one of those, like, the little clippy, like, shark head things, you play around with when you're a kid.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, it kind of looks like that.
Okay. So guy dies. Everybody on the boat's freaking out. And this is mad.
And this goes very quick. This escalates so quick.
The lady grabs a bottle of fuel or gasoline, starts freaking out, starts pouring the gasoline on herself.
As the guys are firing blatantly at the shark.
Yeah. Homeboy grabs a flare gun, shoots it in the general direction, and the whole boat goes up in flames.
There's one shot before the boat explodes. Which, by the way, isn't even a shot of a boat exploding. It's the explosion from the end of Jaws.
From the buoy?
It's, yeah.
Okay.
So he fires the flare gun, and everything, like, there's fire, and there's this fire effect that they used, and they show the girl, like, it's like they took the same scene, and then just, for, like, 20 frames, like, less than a second, and it's just them going, ah, and then there's fire around them, but they're clearly not on fire, but they're in the fire, and the girl's still got the gasoline, and she's still dumping it, like, freaking out, and then all of a sudden, boom! I had to pause the movie because I was laughing uncontrollably to the point my buddy walked in. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm watching Cruel Jaws. And I rewind and he's like, okay.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm out of here.
We're good.
I'm good.
We're good. I mean, this is why you watch the movie, for this scene.
And you know what the beauty of being on Freevee is?
It's free.
It's not only is it free, but there is something about the act break. And this is the thing why I say that sitcoms don't work on streaming, because you don't have the act break.
Yeah.
The act break is essential to the sitcom because you set up the joke, punchline, then you cut to commercial, and then you set up the next, you know, the second act or third act, whatever you're going to do. That scene, on my version, the ship explodes, and then all of a sudden, I get a commercial for, like, you know, Ford of Ontario. Right after that, and the juxtaposition of it all is mind blowing to me, and I am making dolphin noise. I had to get up and walk around for a second. Like, this is too goddamn much. Like, this movie is
this is
nuts. So we come back. So now, our mogul realizes my son's dead.
Yeah.
So, he talks to his daughter, who, you know, she's in love with Hulk Hogan's son.
Something like that.
Yeah, and he's, you know, she's like, Dad, you gotta do it. He's like, I'm taking care of it. He tells her to get, you know, go away. As there's these two dudes in his house.
Yeah.
These two Guido-looking dudes. And there's, actually, no, I'm sorry, it's three dudes.
Yeah.
It's three dudes, because there's this mob boss-looking dude, again, who looks like he was friends with the director.
Right.
And, you know, he's got a cigar in his mouth. He's like, yeah, this ain't Chicago. We gotta do things Chicago way. And he's got one dude who's got the prerequisite 90s ponytail, the hair pulled all the way back, wearing the T-shades, looks like...
It's Dean Malenko.
No. This is the big guy. And this guy looks like...
Yeah, Dean Malenko.
Dean Malenko was the guy, the small guy with him.
Oh, okay.
Who's even more muscular. But he, like... these guys are like standing... So the guy with the glasses is standing like this. Yeah, he's standing like this.
Yeah.
Like Kevin Nash back in the day when he was with Shawn Michaels.
Diesel, yeah.
And then there's this dude who I swear to God is 5'1".
He's pink on pink. With,
yeah.
Pink, he's got a tie Bahamas head to toe.
Oh my God, yeah. Again, these guys look like they just like, hey, this is what you're supposed to look like. Find something in your wardrobe and bring it in. And so, yeah. And the little guy is like standing like this because he's trying to like... Because he clearly did some push-ups before they shot the scene. He's like... And he's trying to act tough. And like, he's supposed to be the muscle of this group. And they're kind of mad-dogging the guy. And this, and by the way, this point is where we get some crucial information about the shark. Offhanded. Because the mob boss guy walks away. And these two dudes are like, don't worry, we'll take care of it. When our tycoon guy's like, no, you don't understand. The shark is something. The wreckage. He was trained by the Marines to take out enemies. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? This crucial piece of information would have been good at the beginning of the movie. And by the way, where the hell did this guy get this info?
Okay, great, because I didn't get this information. You didn't hear this information. This
comes out of
nowhere.
It comes out of this guy's mouth. I'm like, how do you know this? No one else. The sheriff? No one else. Talk about a possibly genetically engineered killer shark.
Protecting a sunken battleship.
Yes.
Sunken submarine or something. I don't know.
It was a sunken, like, Navy ship of some sort.
Off the coast of Florida.
Off the cuff. And they're like... And the mob guy's like, we'll take care of it. So...
Cut to... Hold on. At some point, the sheriff and a helicopter dies?
Oh, no. Okay. So, yeah. So, while they're like, we'll go take care of it. And because our tycoon guy's like, I want to pay this money.
Right.
So, they're like, well, you're going to pay us if we take care of it.
Right.
And he's like, well, damn. So, and he's like, well, you don't have to get it. Like, just leave it to us. And then they walk out. Then we smash cut to the sheriff, who looks like...
Who's in an army helicopter.
Yeah, he looks like Robert Urich and, like, Joe Don Baker, like, melted together.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're in a helicopter, and they're flying over the water, and the guy who's the helicopter pilot, you look at him, you're like, this guy doesn't speak a lick of English. Like, he's just some extra that they hired.
It's two different pilots, man. It's a guy. Okay. First, they cut to a guy in a bomber jacket.
Yeah.
Cut back to Mitchell Part 2. And then they cut to a guy with army fatigues with a mustache. You're like.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, wait, something happened here. Yeah.
Yeah. So essentially, same deal.
The sheriff, by the way, he doesn't tell anyone that he's taken it upon himself to take out the shark. So he gets in a helicopter, and he's got, like a...
The same piece of meat.
Same exact... I swear to God, it's the exact same piece of meat.
Yeah.
Same piece.
Pulls it out of a Ziploc.
Pulls it out of a cooler.
There you go.
And then ties it to the wench on the helicopter, and he's hanging out the door of the helicopter and tosses it. And he's telling the pilot, get low, get low. So he tosses it in, and then you see the shark again. Like, the shark, it's just random shots of the shark swimming underwater, and never the same shark. Ever. Never the same shark. And then finally, another Jaws, which I swear to God was from Jaws 3. Like, when the thing is in the aquarium, like, it's a completely different shot. And all of a sudden, like, you just see this mouth open and grab the
helicopter.
The meat that's attached to the helicopter. And at no point do you see the shark and the helicopter in the same sequence. Like,
Until the very end where he shows up behind him, but that's what gets
that. Yeah, that's in a whole other thing. So, the shark now has this piece of meat that's attached to, like, a wench that has to have, like, a 3,000-pound, like, tension to it. And it's dragging the copter down with them. And you're like, okay. I've seen this plane. This is literally Jaws 4.
Yeah.
This is literally Jaws 4. And the sheriff's like telling the pilot, go higher. And he's like, we can't. And he's like fighting the stick. So this guy pulls out like an AR-15.
A spray painted plastic AR-15.
Yeah, and just starts like shooting at the shark. And you just like get like shots of him like shooting, and then occasionally just the shark like, you know, pulling around.
No splashes.
No splashes, nothing. And then you just hear the two lines that the helicopter pilot says. He's like, cut the line. And then there's just like a weird like spinning shot. And then all of a sudden the copter's down. And the sheriff falls out.
Yep.
And then you see the shark come up behind him. And you just get the shot like, ah. And then that's it. Like, they allude that the whole helicopter went down into the water, because the shark pulled it down, but you never see the helicopter go into the water. It just smash cuts, and you're like, well, I guess they're dead. Okay. So now we get back to our heroes. And now they're actually plotting a path. They figured out, okay, the shark is hanging out here.
They're on a boat.
Yeah. Well, no, they're not on the boat yet. They're in the boat house where they're laying out their plans. And they're like, okay, so we figured out the shark's hanging out this wreckage. That's where, you know, that ship was found, you know, the Cuban guys and everything. So we're going to go there, and then we're going to blow up the shark. They come up with this plan to plant a bomb on the wreckage of the ship and blow up the shark in it. But our two mobster guido-looking dudes show up while the son and the guy that works at the park, they're like, well, I guess we're going to ghost. And all of a sudden you hear these two guys, no, you're not. And they just club him in the back of the head, like with one of those like ratchet things.
Yeah.
And the big guy's like, I'll take care of the boat. You go, you know, go look inside. And the little guy's looking around, and he's like, and they have the plans. And literally says, shark is here. Written on it in plain wording. He's like, aha. Takes the plans with him. And then they go hop on their boat and take off after he's apparently sabotaged our hero's boat. Our marine biologist hero comes in, realizes his match gone. He's like, dear God. And then realizes what happens. Don't even mention anything else after that. We cut to these two Guido mobsters on their boat. And they're like, man, we're going to get paid big time for this. Shark comes up again. Intercut of like 15 different scenes from five different movies. And they decide, like, we're going to open fire on this shark. Does nothing. And the shark rams the boat, knocks one of the guys into the water. He gets devoured.
Again, hand puppet eats this, like, this G.I. Joe.
Yes! They just cut to this, like, the guy goes, ah! Like, overboard. Like, they're clearly on a boat out, like, in the harbor. And then all of a sudden, they're on the boat, like, the way that's shot and cut. The guy, they show, like, a real shark ramming something. And then the camera rocks for them, and the guy goes ass over tea kettle into the drink. And all of a sudden, like, you just see the big shark come up, like, la, la, like, just munching on him. And it hits the boat again. I believe it knocks the other guy over? Or does he, like, sink the shark? I forgot. Does he sink the shark? Again, I just watched this movie this morning. This is how incomprehensible this movie was.
If I remember correctly, I think he kind of looks over, and then the shark, the hand puppet, just goes...
So, those two dudes who show up at the 11th hour in this movie have a total screen time of about 3.5 minutes.
Maybe.
Are then completely devoured. So, now our tycoon has no one to take care of the problem. Then we get into the final act of this movie, where our heroes are going out on their version of the Orca.
Let me get this straight.
Yes.
So, their plan is to send two divers...
Yes.
Rig up an explosion.
Yes.
Inside of the Cleveland.
Yes.
Wait for the shark to show up and explode the shark.
Yes.
And that's how they're going to kill it.
Yes. That's their grand plan. Well, by the way, they have to fix the boat first. And Hulk Hogan is like trying to get it fixed. He's like, start it now. And they're like, nah, nah, nah. He's like, damn. Let me try again.
Smacks it with a wrench.
He literally goes down. They show him, like, crawling around, like, some basement somewhere. It's not even in a boat. And then, like, just smash cut. You see something, okay. And then all of a sudden, vroom, like, why did you even need to put that there? Like, you could have...
Could have saved you 30 seconds.
You could have fixed it the first time around. Whatever you did that second time, why didn't you do it the first time? Like, you're sitting there, like... I'm getting dumber watching this movie. Like, this is making my mind melt here.
Okay. Okay. I... Watching this part of the movie, they send the two divers down to the Cleveland. Same place, same
boat.
Spot where the two Cuban guys at the beginning of the movie were.
Yes, by the way, we never see this boat sink ever.
And they see this, all you see is this square box with a little blinky on top.
Yeah, it's a prop box.
And they just kind
of... Looks like out of Batman, this Anna West
thank
Batman.
Thank you, yes. They just kind of swim down there, tie it up, you know, set up to the bottom of whatever this thing is, and then they go back. Shark's chasing them.
Yeah.
Chasing them. It's...
Yeah. There's a point where the shark causes part of the ship to collapse.
It rams into something.
Like, things in the ship, like...
It rams into a fence that you don't know where it came from?
No, the fence was early on.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
The fence was when...
When they said they had, like, no shark fence or something.
Yeah, they put up a shark fence because... Yeah. They had to have the ricotta going.
Right.
Which, again, is all like... This is all stock footage from other movies that they played no part at all in any of this because they never really bring up the fence ever again. The shark just gets through.
So they get up there.
So one guy gets out.
Yeah.
One guy gets out and they're like, where's our hero? Where's the marine biologist? And the son's like, I'll go back down for him because there's a point when the shark attacks the wreckage, this big piece of, like, sheet metal comes down, and you think, oh, no, he got caught. Turns out, no. So our hero, or the son jumps back in. He had just taken off his scuba gear. He's like, don't worry. Just grabs his gear and puts the rebreather in, and he's dragging it around with him. Which I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
this is, like, way more work than it has to be.
Yeah. So... And by the way these guys are diving, like, they're diving in, like, Tommy Bahama t-shirts.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, like, swim trunks. I'm like, this is an odd way to dive. Like, you don't have any, like wetsuits or anything? And clearly it was not in the budget. So, turns out our hero had survived after we thought he got crushed to death by the shark. His buddy finds him and gives him his rebreather, and they go out through this hole while the shark is still ramming the ship. And then there's just shots of, like, the shark threshing around in the water. Like, this is all, like, from, like, National Geographic and stuff like that.
And then they just cut to the bomb that they just placed. What doesn't even look like it's in the ship. It looks like it's on the side of a dock.
Yeah.
And then you just see they cut into it, and it's like going, and like it's beeping. They get back up into the water, and there's a second where you think, oh no, the shark's going to get them, but it doesn't. And then the bomb goes off, and then they once again reuse the footage from the end of Jaws, and this big bloody mess goes up, and they're like, yay!
When you see the shark die, is essentially is it's this plastic toy that they just rip in half.
Yeah.
That's it. Man.
They have the explosion from Spielberg's Jaws, and then there's like this toy shark that's kind of like the front missing. You're like, it just got caught in a bomb. Like, why is only the head missing?
That's all.
And it's just, and then smash cut. They're back. They're back at the. They're back at the aquapark.
Yeah.
And everyone is enjoying the show. All of a sudden, like, oh, the attendance is back. And everyone's watching the dolphin show and the fucking sassy seal, and they're all having a good time. They're like fake laughing, like ha ha ha. And the tycoon comes out and he's like, "I want to give $10,000, which just happens to be the amount that is owed on the back rent to the fine people at this, you know, at this aquarium."
I think his name was Dag.
Yes, his name was Dag.
Dag. Yeah. His name Hulk was Hogan.
Dag. Yeah. His name's Dag. My God. The Dag.
So, hands over check.
Hands over the check. There's the seal.
The seal is...
And this is a callback. Yeah, and this is a callback to earlier in the film where we're jumping around because...
Comes and stops him in the butt. Because
when this tycoon's coming around with the smoke and the cigarette, it's like, you got 2 weeks. And the seal comes up and it just smacks him and he goes, whoa, whoa, like into the water. And like, what? Why are we slapsticking right now? What is going on?
That's exactly how this movie ends.
Literally, yes. Seal, the guy drops the check, by the way, so the check doesn't get washed, so it's still good, and still going to be cashed. And he falls into the drink, and then just hard pans onto the crowd, especially the little girl in the wheelchair, like, fake laughing, like, ha-ha, and then credits. And you're going, what in mad hell did I just watch? Now, you would expect this from a movie in the 70s.
Yes.
When churning out garbage was par for course. This movie was made in 1995.
Part of it was.
For the majority of all the actors and everything were in 1995. Yeah. Now, this is actually... I bring up Primeval's for this reason. Yeah. We talked about this in the last episode. You can go back and look. Because Primeval's was shot in the 90s.
Part of it was.
Part of it was shot in the 90s. Yeah, all the actor stuff was shot in the 90s. And then the effects stuff was started in the 80s. And then the final version was done... in 2021, 2022. So, it's a weird hodgepodgey film. This is a 1975 trash exploitation film made in the mid-90s. Mid-90s when Roger Corman and Trimark Pictures are ruling the direct-to-video market with, you know, classics like Fortress and Proteus and stuff like that, like these weird, trashy monster films. They were, you know, in another age, they would have been drive-through films.
Right.
But now they're part of the direct-to-video market. I have no clue what this movie was meant to do, other than rip off Jaws. Because, again, as I said, this is supposed to be an R-rated, you know, gory shark attack film that is not gory whatsoever. There's very little... The goriest part is when they find the fake dummy.
Yeah.
That it's been mauled by a shark. I'm like, no, it looks like someone threw acid on this thing's face.
It looks like someone kind of like grinded his face against a concrete.
Yeah, this doesn't look like a shark because there's no pieces missing. It looks like it's just decomposed. Like half the, you know, like half the thing's face is like melted off. I'm like, this is a dummy from something else. Like, right. I don't know what this is from. The rest of the movie is wildly tame. And it is...
Except for the language.
Yeah, the occasional swear word.
Yeah.
Everyone wants one. The sheriff lets off an F-bomb. The tycoon, I think, lets off two. And I think the son of Hulk Hogan lets off one at during one of the beach scenes. But other than that, like, if you're trying to sell this, like, at least, like, you know, back in the day, Roger Corman knew he was going to sell his movies.
Yeah.
I need gooey monsters. I need gratuitous violence. I need gratuitous nudity.
Yeah.
This has none of that, but it's being sold as that. And I can't figure out for the life of me, like, look, this movie's like The Room. They were earnest in what they were doing, but it is unintentionally the most hilarious movie you've ever seen. Like, I was laughing out loud at times. Like, this made me laugh in ways that Showgirls makes me laugh. Because you're like, what the hell is going on here? This is so damn ridiculous. But they're like, no, we're making a movie. We're telling the story. It's just stock footage. It's corners cut on every end. Like, if this was a building, OSHA would have red tagged this thing long ago.
Don't get us started on the soundtrack. It's ripped. This is like.
By the way, they never rip off the Jaws theme. You notice that? They rip off other themes.
Other themes, yeah, but not.
Never the Jaws theme. It's there's like, a point it's, when our hero's on the boat and he's like hitting the throttle, and then the Star Wars Imperial Mark. No, the
throne room.
The throne room theme.
Yeah.
Is like remixed.
Yes.
And I'm
it's just different enough. This is like a WCW entrance theme.
Yes.
Just different
it's
enough.
Like, it's like DDP coming out to Smells Like Teen Spirit, but it's like
just
a Muzak version of it.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on? The Star Trek theme gets thrown in there?
A little bit.
At one point, yeah. A little bit from like the motion picture. I'm like,
look.
There's a reason why, yeah, this movie, this movie got sued into oblivion. So, yes. So the point of it even being on Amazon, like, it's on Freevee, so it's not Amazon's. I don't think Amazon owns Freevee.
It's not directly on Amazon, but Amazon Prime. Well, you can watch it on
Prime or Amazon Freevee. Prime. Yes.
So, should you watch this movie?
Yeah. Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, you should.
You know the best way to watch this movie? Get one of these.
Yeah.
Fill it up. Sit with a couple of buddies. Put it on. And have a damn good time because, you and I have watched some bad movies. And here's the thing with a bad movie. What makes a bad movie is that it bores you.
Yes.
And
thank
it
you.
Irritates you.
Yes.
That's what makes a bad movie. There's bad movies, but you can find the charm and love in them. And if you're entertained, I feel that is, like, you can say, look, structurally, this is a bad movie, but I love it because it entertains me. And then there are movies that are, like, just bad because they're boring. Because the people behind it don't know what the hell they're doing. Back in the day, like, there was a lot of those, like, drive-in monster movies where the monster only shows up in the last 5 minutes of the movie. And the rest of the time, it's just a lot of meandering going on. Perfect example is this Hammer movie called Island of the Burning Damned. And I remember watching this as a kid, being bored out of my gourd by because... One we should probably talk about one day. Because it's Christopher Lee, it's Peter Cushing, they're on this isle, like island off of Scotland, and it's unseasonably warm, and people are being burned to death, and you only hear like a buzz, and then there's like a flash of light, and that's the mystery of the whole movie, like, what's killing these people? And spoilers, at the very end, it's aliens, and then these little disc things with like a glowing center, like, they look like a, what's those cookies with the chocolate chip in the middle?
Oh, yeah.
So, they got one little child, but, you know, that it looked like a gooey version of that. And then it rains, and then they die. And I remember even being as a kid, I'm like, what the hell? Like, why? What was the point of this? Oh, it's just a cheap movie to, like, throw together in, like, 20 seconds. Like, it felt like they filmed, like, what was the one about the giant bacterias that eat, like, bones? Like the creeping unknown or something like that.
Was it? Or was it the brain with...
No, it wasn't the brain. It was a British... It was a Hammer movie. I think it was like the creeping unknown or something like that. But it was like these bacterias that grew... Like I said, they had like these little proboscis things that came out. And then they ate calcium. So they would suck your... They would digest your bones.
Was it like in a base?
Yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about. Fiend Without a Face?
No, it wasn't Fiend Without a Face. No, it was in color, too.
Oh, no.
It was in color.
I have no idea.
So it was a British film. Like, I'm blanking on it at the second, but... Yeah, it's one of those where, like, oh, we just got in filming this, and they pulled a Roger Corman, like, well, we got, like, a week left on the budget. Let's throw a script real quick, and we can have someone whip something up. Well, you know, all these people are still on the dole for a minute. Well, let's get another movie out of this. So, this is what Cruel Jaws felt like... you know what? I want to go spend the summer in Miami. So, we're going to hire a bunch of local actors. The acting in this is...
Actors.
It does go into that, it's so bad, it's good. Like, because there are points, like, it's not like, it's not like watching Manos, the Hands of Fate, where these are not actors. Like, these are people who don't know how to deliver lines and stuff like that. Because these people can deliver lines. It's just, they deliver them badly, and the dialogue is so atrocious. It's so bad, and there's no rhyme or reason to what they're saying that makes it great. And I gotta admit, like, of all the Jaws ripoffs I've seen in my lifetime, this is the most rippiest off of them all. But it's got a charm to it that, like, yes, this is definitely, like, something that would be played at a second-run theater for a midnight movie. And you're serving booze at this thing, because that's
sounds great. This was a great time.
Yes, this is having a great time. This is a movie where you want everyone laughing, you want people yelling at the screen, because there's so much dumb stuff going on. This is a communal experience. This is what Mystery Science Theater was meant for.
Yes.
And I'm actually shocked. I mean, barring the few swear words, this feels like something that they would have...
Well, I mean, to get the rights to this, it's just...
I know, and that's the other thing. It's a rights it's a nightmare. It's a freaking rights nightmare. We actually, we need to do, like, a Turkish film one day.
I would love to.
We should do Three Dev Adam.
We should.
I think
it was on the list.
I think it was on the list, so... I think in terms of ripoffs, yeah. Maybe next one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But you hear first. We're going to stay on the ripoff theme. And next episode, we're going to do a seminal classic of Turkish ripoff films called Three Dev Adam. And just to give you the gist of this wonderful masterpiece, Spider-Man, yes, that Spider-Man, is an international terrorist. And he has to be stopped. And a local detective is trying to stop him, but he can't. So he has to call in help. And who's the help that he calls? None other than Captain America and the great wrestler, El Santo. That is the plot of the movie.
So
that's the plot of the movie. I am not even... We haven't even touched that. So stay tuned for that episode. But overall, final thoughts on Cruel Jaws.
Go watch it. Go if you... If you like shark movies as much as we do,
yeah.
And this for me, this is one of those things I've never seen before.
We should have Chris on this episode.
Oh my god, we should have.
Oh yeah, we gotta get another shark movie and get him on here.
This is a great idea.
Yeah,
we're gonna find another shark movie. Great idea.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get him on. We'll get him on. So
yeah.
But anyway, well. But yeah, it's a so bad it's good kind of thing, right?
If you haven't seen it, this is one of those things that like you hear about. But you've never seen, but now you have the chance to see it because it's on Freebie. So at the time of this recording, at least.
Yeah.
Go watch it.
Go watch it before it gets yanked.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee it'll get yanked. I'm legit surprised because, yeah, I mean, it had a DVD release at one point, but I think it was edited too. Because all the stuff.
All I know is that the Japanese version is 96 minutes and the American is 93 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what's in the extra 3 minutes?
Probably nothing to justify picking up that copy. It's probably like some song cue or something.
Probably a nudity scene, or it's probably there's nothing. Yeah, but still, what's in those 3 minutes?
Yeah. So in terms of if you listen to the show, you know Ari and I go back and forth. Like I'll tell him like, have you watched this movie? And he's like, no. Okay, we'll do that. I think the best of that was what Seventh Curse. For
Seventh
you?
Curse is now a local legend mm-hmm. where I come from.
And this is one he hit for me, so yeah, this is Rats. You recommended me Rats. And,
Rats is great.
Rats is great too.
Yeah.
So So on that note, we're gonna wrap up this episode of Comic Kaisers. Remember, if you like what you see, we do have our other show, which is the Kaiju Kingdom Podcast. You can find us at the Kaiju Kingdom Podcast.com. And if you don't like to stream, if you don't like to download, you can always stream us on your favorite podcast streamers, including Apple, Spotify, or wherever else you find better podcasts. We're also on social media. We're on X at the Kaiju Kingdom, Instagram at the Kaiju Kingdom, and Facebook.com/the Kaiju Kingdom Podcast. And that'll do it for this episode. For myself and...
Yeah, nice to meet you guys.
Thanks for watching, guys. And we'll see you next time.